Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic. We'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any set, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Well, welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of the fellowship in who will be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And to start the sharing off this morning, Catherine, do you want to share?
Thanks, Steve. Hi, my name's Catherine and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Catherine.
I have come to an understanding that I have always been an alcoholic and that I will always be an alcoholic. And what alcoholism is for me, and I'm only sharing my story, is a very complicated disease. Certainly I was addicted to drinking alcohol, but underneath that addiction sat another level, what we call the isms of alcoholism, and that was a spiritual dis-ease or discomfort. And it all started pretty much in my adolescence, and like many young teens, I started to feel very uncomfortable around in life, and spent a lot of my time hiding away, quite frightened of socialising, pretty low self-esteem actually, which is not uncommon, I guess, as a teenager. But I think the isms of the alcoholism were profound and were showing at that stage already. And so when I found alcohol, which happened to be at home on a Saturday night alone because most of my friends were out socialising, 15, 16 years old, you know, I found alcohol at home and I picked it up and I consumed great quantities. And I found the what I thought was the solution to my problem, that if I drank alcohol, that dis-ease, that anxiety, that fear went away. And it did for a while, and I did find my solution. Interestingly enough, the way I started my drinking to excess and alone was pretty much the pattern of my drinking for the remainder of my drinking time. So that's how I started, and that was my pattern. I didn't understand drinking one glass or even two glasses of wine was the alcohol of my choice. I understood drinking a bottle, maybe two bottles. And I was much more comfortable drinking alone because then I could create a little fantasy world for myself where I could be the centre of that fantasy and forget about my anxieties and fears, which I think may be true for a lot of alcoholics. We often find that we feel like we're square pegs in round holes and we look to alcohol to solve a problem, and that solution becomes the problem. So I continued my drinking like this, completely oblivious to the fact that my way of drinking was not normal. I was so consumed with my drinking that I wasn't looking at how other people were drinking, which was largely, when I see now my sobriety, you know, can take it or leave it. That's what a normie or a normal drinker does. They can take it or leave it. I could never take it or leave it. If I took it, I had to take it to excess. And so invariably my drinking led to me being drunk, I didn't drink to be convivial. I didn't drink because I particularly liked it. I drank because I got out of it and I could escape myself for a wee while. Unfortunately, the nature of alcoholism is it's progressive and you tend to drink more and more. And that's what I did. Once again, not really noticing that I was increasing my intake, and it got to the point where drinking at least one, perhaps two bottles a day was the norm, and drinking into blackout became a regular occurrence. And just for anyone who doesn't No, blackout is a little bit different to passing out, although I certainly did enough of that. Blackout is when you're actually functioning in a way you cannot remember the next day. You're doing things and you really don't remember doing them. And that became the norm. Unfortunately, when you're raising three children and have a profession, that can become problematic. Once again, I still didn't really know that I had a problem. But my life was becoming a mess. My life had become unmanageable, but once again, I think I was the last to recognise that. And that's because alcoholism is very self-centred. All you really think about is yourself and how I can drink more alcohol. But something happened along the line. I've been sober 4 years, and 4 years ago today, I just had some sort of insight that I could not continue living like this. What had been the solution has certainly become a problem for myself and for anyone who became anywhere near me, because I just lived life like a hurricane. I'd just come on whizzing through, the home. Everyone would be perfectly peaceful and quiet until I arrived home, and then I would be racking everyone up, wondering why they weren't doing things that I wanted them to do. And you know, it's just madness. I look back and think, you're insane. Hindsight's a wonderful thing. So 4 years ago today, I had this epiphany. I was so tired of being me. I'd actually come to the end of being me. I didn't know how I was going to survive for another 30, 40 years if I was lucky. And I just thought, I have to do something about my drinking problem. It had become a problem that I could see. And so that's when I made a decision myself to get into AA. And, wow, what a journey it's been. I couldn't have done this journey in sobriety without AA, because the stopping the alcohol part was quite easy. I was relieved of that obsession quite early on in my journey. But boy, learning to live a sober life and life on life's terms was very hard. And it's taken me a long time to find that serenity and the promises that we are told will happen if we do the work in AA. So I have, in my early sobriety, you know, those were really painful times because I was stripped, metaphorically stripped naked. I used my alcohol to solve any emotion I felt, whether it was happy, sad, angry, bored. I'd just pick up and I didn't have to feel. And when you take your alcohol away, you have to feel life. Life happens to you. You're not in control. And so I've spent the last 4 years learning to live life on life's terms and to understand that I'm not the centre of the universe and that, in fact, I have very little control over anything, but what I do have control over is how I choose to respond to things. So today, with the help of AA and a spiritual program, because I do believe I was spiritually dead when I came to into the glaring lights of sobriety, the spiritual program has helped me find not only people who understand me and who will love me no matter what, but it's helped me understand myself and my own illness. And I don't take credit for getting sober by myself, because I tried by myself many times and it didn't work. What I do take credit for is getting my ego out of the way so that my higher power could get in and do some magic, could stop, you know, could help me find some peace and serenity, because it's certainly what I was lacking in my life. And many alcoholics are described as restless, irritable and discontented, and that's how I lived my life. And it's really tiring. Tiring for me, tiring for everyone around me. So I'm starting to feel the promises, but I've had to work really hard and I've had to give up a lot of my ego, which is scary because I used my ego to protect myself, my low self-esteem. And so take that away. I've had to learn real humility, that I am just a person among people. And actually, that's a fabulous place to be, because it's being in the centre of the universe, thinking I had to control everyone and I was right about everything was really tiring and actually pretty impossible. So I was really glad to give up that job and just shuffle to the centre of the universe with my AA colleagues holding my hand. And now today I can live among people. I don't have to be the centre of attention. I can just tell myself, you just do the next right thing for you. It doesn't matter who knows or doesn't know about it. You're doing it for you and your higher power. So that's all we have for now. Thank you very much, Steve.
Thanks, Catherine. You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. And this morning we have members of our fellowship in sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And to continue on with the sharing, Dave, do you want to share?
Yeah, good morning. My name's David. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, David.
unlike a lot of people, I didn't have any trouble coming into AA and saying I was an alcoholic. I started drinking. I first remember being drunk at 11 years old and progressed badly through my teenage years. And by the time I was 21, I had my first major blackout. That was in the island of Corfu. I was on holiday and apparently having a really good time, but there's this like 15-hour gap in my life where I fortunately arrived back safe and sound at my accommodation. I was covered in cuts and bruises and dirt, and I had no idea where I'd been or what I'd done in between. I made out at the time that that was really hilarious, but really, truly, it was very, very scary. And unfortunately, that continued on. For a 40-year drinking career, I had regular blackouts and many, many passouts as well. So now I'm 304 days sober, 10 months to most people, so relatively new to this program, but I do fully understand right from the beginning that this is where I belong. That period drinking put me in a lot of danger. I went to places I shouldn't be with, people I shouldn't be with, and did things I shouldn't do. One of the things that really bothers me most was that I was driving drunk, and I had two DUIs and court cases and so on. That just simply goes against everything I believe when I'm sober, and it really, really bothers me. As well as that, I had the casualties of relationships, a marriage that broke up, friendships with people that I just alienated and pushed away. I got in trouble with my employers for being unreliable and dishonest. I saw a doctor recently, and he said, it was asking me about my sobriety, and he said, oh, you must miss all that fun. And I thought, man, you have really missed the point, because it stopped being fun a long, long time ago. It was for sure a lot of fun at the beginning, and there was lots of pranks and idiot stuff that's probably best not mentioned, but that stopped and it just became a necessity. And then towards the end, I found that no matter how much I drank, I just couldn't get to that stage where I had the effect I wanted, which was really just to make life go away, not to enhance it. So I went and got help. I saw a marvellous counsellor, and this very, very kindly man suggested that I might like to attend an AA meeting with him. I didn't really want to, but he was so nice that I thought I wouldn't let him down, and I turned up at a meeting. And soon I began to attend regularly. By my third meeting, I was sober, and I have not had a drink ever since. I now know that third step, it came off into the wall and into my life, and that the AA group became my greater power and enabled me to achieve something I'd never done by myself before. I think the most I'd ever achieved was 2 or 3 days without alcohol in that last 40-year period. And then suddenly here I was, not drinking. There was only a problem with that. One problem with that, and that was I was not drinking. I wasn't ready for life in sobriety. I'd come to AA, as the doctor in the book describes, in a hopeless and helpless state of mind and body. I took away the alcohol, and suddenly I found instead that I was restless and irritable and discontented and really didn't know how to cope with life. I just self-medicated with alcohol for so long that facing reality was a bit of a challenge. I really didn't like looking in mirrors. I didn't like the man I saw there. I saw the man that had caused so much trouble to myself and to other people. It wasn't something I really wanted to face up to. But I came to understand that I didn't need to just read the steps on the wall or in the big book. I needed to practice them. So I did step four. I took a long, hard look at myself. I looked at the resentments and harms I caused to people, institutions. I looked at the huge burden of fear that I was carrying around. I'd never realised before how fearful I was. I went into step five and I shared that information. I come to understand that my life is in three parts. There's my relationship with God, there's my relationship with me, and my relationship with other human beings. Step five helped me to put those three parts back together again. It was really painful and humiliating. It was one of the most difficult things I've ever done. But it's made a huge change in my life. I don't want to forget my past. I want to use it now to help other people who can perhaps identify with what I'm saying and use it to motivate themselves to get into this program. I'm a long way from being an ideal person, but I'm an awful lot better than I was. The book talks about progress, not perfection. I can talk about a whole series of little betters. I'm just a little better at this and a little better at that as each day goes by. This is truly a program for life, and I can make use now of a spiritual toolkit that's provided to put my life back together. And within that toolkit is prayer and meditation, is the meetings, the publications, and very much the company and fellowship of other alcoholics who are trudging this path alongside with me. In the big book on page 75, it talks about the fifth step, and it makes some fantastic promises there. It says if we have done this step with holding nothing, that amongst other things, we're able to look the world in the eye. So when I look in that mirror now, I'm a little bit kinder on that guy that I see. I know that he's made his mistakes, but he's doing his best now, and all he really needed was a bit of love. And that love is what I've found in the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous and my new relationship with a higher power. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. And this morning we had members of the fellowship in sharing their experience, strength and hope about the journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the last person to share this morning is Christine. Would you like to share?
Sure, thank you, Steve. My name is Christine and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Christine.
Sober today by the grace of God, and I can say that today. My sobriety day is 2006. Mother's Day, which is coming up tomorrow. And, you know, that's certainly not who I was when I walked into these rooms coming on 12 years ago. I was a total wreck. You know, there was nothing in my head that was sane. I picked up a drink at the age of 14 years old, a so-called social drink, which landed me in the Black Pearl pad in South Auckland. Less than 24 hours later, and I came to on a couch, not having a clue how I even got there, because the intention was previous day to go to an after-school pool party. And I remembered chipping in a few dollars with a group of girls, and we were going to get some cheap Chardon sparkling stuff. You know, and I only remember having, you know, less than one glass. And then the last, and then the next memory was jumping in the pool, all clothes and all that sort of thing. How I ended up in the Black Power pad the next day, you know, it's still today, I don't know. I remember coming to around 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon that Saturday, and, you know, there were just a group of guys standing around drinking. And so I proceeded to crawl under the door, one of the doors there, you know, like they hadn't noticed that I was there, just to make my way down the path to have to turn around and crawl back under and ask where I was, you know. And, you know, that's just, that became the habit of my drinking, chronic blackout drinker. You know, as a previous speaker has shared, ended up in all the wrong places with all the wrong people doing all the wrong things. And that was certainly not my intention. You know, my plan was I'm going to pick up a drink, I'm going to have a few drinks with some friends, and we're going to have a good time, and we're going to come home by 12. And none of my evenings ended up that way. You know, I would ask my parents to look after my two young kids at the time. So I was just going to an ATM machine on Friday, and I'd come back Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday morning. So my drinking affected my family, and I was oblivious to all of this, and it wasn't until I walked into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous by accident. You know, I was brought in by the AA police after making a phone call for crying for 4 days at home. Poor me. I think I have a drinking problem. I picked up the phone on a Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, and within 25 minutes, two members sat with me in my home and wouldn't leave. And they took me to my very first meeting. So they were the AA police in my eyes. And I still don't remember what I heard at the very first meeting, but I fit. I belonged. You know, there were 40-odd men in that room, and I sat right at the back, all dressed in black. hoping, you know, I wasn't, you know, they weren't going to notice me as a new person in the room tonight. And, you know, filled with fear, shame, guilt. At the same time, I was excited because I heard things shared from the floor by these men, which I identified with, and these, every single person that stood up, shared a little bit about how my life really was. You know, and that was the beginning of my journey in Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, through working the steps, through having a sponsor, through having a home group in my life, and I have always had these things. I haven't always followed the directions of my sponsor or of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is Chapter 5, How It Works, you know, a program that's specifically laid out for a person, a thinker like myself. And so grateful to this program. I tried everything else. I was in psychotherapy, you know, for a couple of years. That didn't change who I was, you know. I tried aromatherapy, star signs, looking into my star signs. I tried all this kind of crazy stuff, and I truly believe today that the reason why I have a manageable life today, that I can live with me today, is because I've worked this program, you know, step 1, 2, and 3. You know, they allow me to be okay, to move through, you know, and discard the wreckage that I caused in my drinking before getting sober, and 10, 11, and 12 allow me, you know, to maintain my, not just my sobriety, but to maintain a life where I can look at myself in the mirror, you know, because for many years I wasn't able to, especially in recovery, I wasn't able to look at who I was. I walked into these rooms, 2 suicide attempts before walking in, and 1 immediately into, because I refused to work the program. I refused to take instructions from my sponsor. You know, I refused to do, I did untold meetings. I did so many meetings, it wasn't funny. I picked up service positions that I had no idea about. I was a coordinator for one of the big conventions in Brisbane, and I have no clue how I did any of that. Apparently I sold merchandise, and I was so afraid of selling the merchandise that I wanted to just buy it all, because I didn't want to have to, you know, step behind the rails of the shirts and stuff. But, you know, every single one of those things that I knew I didn't want to do, I did anyway. And I get to look back at that and know, oh my gosh, I am still sober today because of those strange things that I trusted, you know, I knew I didn't want to do. And so that's it. Just a great example for me of how powerful my ego is. I know today there's 2. You know, I have a choice, and a choice of 2, God's will and my will. Today I try to practice God's will through the readings, through prayer and meditation on a regular basis, you know, are the tools that I have, you know, at my, you know, at whenever I need them, you know, they're there. You know, I try to be conscious of God working in my life when I'm about to say things that I don't need to say. They don't need to be said out loud. And so much has happened in my life. You know, I have my children in my life today. You know, I've manageable relationships in my life. I've taken steps outside of my comfort zone, you know, which I just wasn't able to do for years. I'm studying full-time, I'm working full-time, you know. I feel like I can raise my children with confidence for the very first time. You know, I was a fear-ridden person my whole life, and that has taken some time through working the program, through having a sponsor that I know cares, and she cares about me. What the heck is that? You know, I didn't think anyone gave a hoot who Christine was. You know, so I've had to learn to trust that, you know, and I don't doubt for a second that God doesn't put people in my place, you know, in my path to do the right thing, to be of service where I do need to be. And, you know, and it's really exciting being here, just seeing all these gadgets and stuff. I'm really excited. I didn't want to do this when I received the text. I thought, oh, you know, that's the alcoholic, you know, that alcoholic being asked to do service. You know, this is that transition. This is that changing of gears sound. It's like, oh, do I have to? Okay, my sponsor might find out if I decline. You know, kind of thing. I'm the only one who's going to tell her, though, that I almost declined. But, you know, thank you so much to Catherine who asked me. I really appreciate this. This is what it's all about, you know, to be of service. It fills that gap. I can truly say that today because, you know, I've got untold study to do today and I need to get outdoors a little bit. That's just truly getting to me. You know, I'm sober today by the grace of God, as I said, and for that I'm truly thankful. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Christine. Christine mentioned about the Chapter 5, how it works, the 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I thought I would just sort of close on a reading from that chapter. And it says how it works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those too who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, and powerful. Without help for us, it is too much, but there is one who has all power. That one is God, and may you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing, and we stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol and that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order, I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines, and the principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapters to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God could and would if he was sought. That's the program of Alcoholics Anonymous as laid out in our text on the book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This brings us towards the end of our meeting. If you've identified with our sharers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you can log on to aa.org.nz, and in the drop-down box is a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area and right throughout the country. Or you can phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. So we'll be back here again next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous, AA, meeting on air. And we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.